We got a special guest, Clay Walker. Governor, I'm going to let you take the lead on this one, and I'm anxious to hear what Clay has to say. Welcome, Clay.
Well, we're proud to have what I consider to be one of the great talents in country music on the other end of this line, and that's his new song that's just out. Hope everyone has the opportunity to go buy it, to go listen to it, and support a great Texan, great American. And, you know, I met Clay Walker, I think, in 1999. He played the inaugural for George W. Bush when he was coming in for his start of his second term, and I was the lieutenant governor. And anyway, he struck me as one of the most humble, gracious, just kind of guy you go up and talk to. And we have become incredibly good friends. I consider Clay to be one of my Christian brothers, a guy that I, if I was down to one phone call that I had to make somewhere and didn't need a good lawyer like you, Tony, I would I'd
You've
call Clay.
You've hurt my feelings twice now, Governor.
So, but anyway.
Governor, you only need a lawyer if you're going to hell.
But Clay, well, I've been on that roof before.
I know you have.
And you know, thank goodness I got saved. So, and Tony helped me out of that one. So, but anyway, Clay, I want to... One of the things that I wanted to share with the audience today was you have the most fabulous story about a physical recovery that you made. I had no idea when I met you in 1999 that you had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in the late 90s, and the prognosis wasn't really good, as I recall. But if come on and kind of share that story about your life and how you managed to conquer multiple sclerosis, in my opinion.
Well, Governor, first let me say, I really, with you and Tony, I don't think I need a publicity agent.
Hey, man. We're friends for life, my friend.
I want to thank you guys so much. And hello, Frank.
Hey, how are you, Clay?
I'm doing great. And I appreciate you guys giving me a chance to share some of my story today, take up some of your precious minutes here on the air. And Rick, that was a beautiful way of telling how we met. And, you know, and I could say the same thing about you. And what endeared me to Rick is the first time I ever was at a public engagement with him, we were both going to take a ride back to the hotel, and the Suburban was going to be full. And Rick was then the governor, and he had actually crawled into the back seat, the very back seat in the Suburban. And I thought to myself, I have never seen a politician or anybody of his stature do that kind of thing. And I instantly felt like we were going to be brothers. And so I count him as one of the most special people I've ever met. And even more so for what's been occurring in my life lately. And as he mentioned, I was diagnosed with MS in 1996. Over at St. Luke's Hospital. I had been up in Canada, and it was April Fool's Day, 1996. I still remember the date like it was yesterday. And the prognosis was really bad. I had a lot of lesions on my brain stem, spinal cord, and brain. And I was told by the doctor then that I was most likely going to be in a wheelchair in a couple of years and dead shortly after. And, you know, I was just starting, my career was just starting to really blossom. And so I was devastated, you know, at that kind of news. And, you know, I prayed to God, and Rick and I both know our Christian walk in life is very deep. And you know, my mom always taught me to pray and not to submit, you know, to anything like that. And, you know, I just felt the presence of the Lord on me, and I said, I'll go where you lead me. I'd gotten on a medication, and that in itself was a miracle that the medication had helped arrest the disease for several years. But there was a deficit left there, you know, a debility and a pretty big one. And I've worked, you know, almost every day since 1996, you know, to keep that deficit from showing. And there have been plenty of nights, you know, plenty of days where it raised its head pretty ugly. And on one particular occasion, I was elk hunting in Colorado with a good friend of Rick's and mine, Dr. Jim Leininger. And he'd asked me, he said, Clay, I've known you a few years. He said, and I really want to talk to you about something. And he says, that I think would help you. He says, you know, I've been walking these mountains with you, and I see, you know, how hard it is. And he goes, I think there's something that'll help you. He said, there's this thing called mesenchymal stem cells by a company done down in Houston named Celltex. And I want to just tell you, Tony, and Frank, I have heard every snake oil story about the cure for MS mm-hmm. that you can imagine.
I'm sure.
You know, because of the amount of people I get to meet in a year's time.
Sure.
And while I was able to keep the disease at bay, scientifically, there's not anything known or proven that can heal the damage that's been done, you know, for MS. The debilitation is just there, and you hope to just maintain status quo or, you know, maintain that plateau and not drop too far. And so I'd been dropping off steadily, and then I asked Jim, who had known that had done it, and he said, well, you know, it cured my stenosis and helped me grow cartilage in my knees. He said, Clay, and I've seen people that it has helped with MS. He mentioned a guy named Rick Hardcastle. And so he said, Rick Perry knows him. You ought to give Rick a call. So I called Rick, and he told me the story about Rick Hardcastle, and I couldn't believe it. Now, here's a guy that fit my description. He had MS. He was debilitated in his legs, and he was worse off than I was. He couldn't even crawl into a boat, and this had gone on for years. And Rick shared a story with me that I actually did not believe, so much so that I got in my truck, and I drove to Austin, Texas. And I wanted to see firsthand. I wanted to actually see the guy walk. And walked in, and his secretary was there. And I kind of talked to her before Rick got to the office. He was late, as usual. And I said, can you tell me a little bit about your buddy there? She's a big fan of mine, so I was able to probe a little bit more information out of her than probably most people. And she goes, yeah. She goes, a couple of years ago, she said he'd be come walking down this hall, and you would swear he was drunk. He couldn't walk up the steps of the Capitol. He couldn't do anything. He had to lean up against that wall and walk down it. And I said, how is he now? She goes, you'd never know it. She goes, here he comes right there. And so he come walking in, and we talked a bit about it. I was so impressed. This guy could jump up and down, do jumping jacks, stand on one leg. It almost looked like a circus act. So I went down and had it done. And I came by. I paid my money to have it done, just like everybody else does. Went down to had dinner. You had to go down to Mexico to get grow the stem.
Because it was illegal or something, right?
Yeah, get an Uber. So I went down, and I hate to take such a long time telling this story.
No, go ahead.
But here's the payoff. You know, my wife, Jess, and I've been together 15 years, and I was telling her I was going to go down and do this. And she had told me, she says, please don't get your hopes up. You know, I don't want you to. She goes, I know you're going to try this, and I hope it works, and I'm praying with you, you know, but don't get your hopes up too much. So I went down there, did it, came back, and a couple of weeks went by, and I didn't notice anything. And I want to back up and just tell you that I was debilitated to the point where I could not walk downstairs holding one of my children, and I certainly couldn't go at any fast pace and not hold on to the rail.
So how'd you put your underwear on?
And, this is funny. I would have to, put them on the floor and, pick my leg up and put it in the hole where it goes and then kind of pull them up.
Yeah.
I couldn't do what you would call a knee high. You know, just take your knee, lift it off the ground, and hold it waist high. I couldn't do that. And so I'd had an exam every year. And my doctor is Dr. Jerry Walensky and now Dr. John Lincoln at UT Memorial. And, you know, they're the best doctors in the world on the planet. And I would go in for every year, do an MRI, and do this test, this physical test, where you got to, they test all your extremities, your balance, everything. And I had a slow decline, but about 6 weeks after going down and doing the stem cells, I was sitting on the couch with my wife, and one of the common things that you see with people with MS is called foot drop, or your toe drops.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always liked wearing cowboy boots anyway, but it particularly helped me when I was walking because a cowboy boot will scoot along the floor, you know, but I could not wear tennis shoes or my toe would dig into the floor and nearly cause me to fall every time.
Yeah.
And it happened a lot. It was just constant. I was sitting there on a couch and my right toe popped up. I looked over at my wife and I said, hey, watch this. I lifted my foot and she looked at me and she goes, can you do it farther than that? I said, yeah. And all of a sudden I bent my foot back, and I hadn't done that in 20 years.
Jeez, 20, man.
24 years, 23 years. And my foot came all the way back, and I stood up, and I started walking. And I walked down the stairs. I came back up. The next morning, I went for a run down our driveway, and I haven't done that since being diagnosed with MS in 1996. I ran down to the gate. I ran out of the gate. I ran about a mile and a half, and I ran back. I was completely out of shape. But I couldn't believe that I now had – I can run up and downstairs. I can lift both knees sky high, and I went in for my checkup, and it blew my doctor's mind. He said, "This is because I'm, you know," he says, "I'm not a believer. I'm not a real religious man." He said, "But I guess I'd call that a miracle." Wow. I've never seen that.
And one of the interesting things, the company that Clay's talking about is Celtex, and they're here. They've been in Houston. It's a lipo suction type approach to take your adipose tissue from around your tummy, and then they process it right here in their lab in Houston. The previous administration, the Obama administration, pushed all of these adult stem cell companies offshore. Basically said that they were creating a drug, therefore the FDA had to give the approval and pushed all of these companies offshore. And Celtex went down into, I think, Cancun to a private hospital down there and had been, been very successful in keeping their business going. And I think they're up to close to 2,000 different clients now that they've had some 9,000 different treatments, not one negative response in this. And just some great stories. If you went online and looked at their website, you would hear some really interesting stories about people who have had juvenile arthritis, who just literally didn't have a life at all, that have had miraculous recoveries. But Clay's story about MS, and I mean, I saw this firsthand. This guy drug a leg on stage. I could tell when I'd watch him. He'd play in some of these golf tournaments, and I could tell, when he'd get tired and he'd drag that leg. And now it's just, I mean.
What is the legal status now of stem cell?
Well, interestingly, the FDA with COVID-19, and we're going to talk about that in the next section of the program, but COVID-19 has liberalized, if you will, the FDA. I'm not a big fan of the FDA. I think that they put a lot of
roadblocks.
That's a nice way to say it. Mm-hmm. I just think there are a lot of people's lives who are negatively impacted because you got a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C., and I'm not talking about the current FDA. I'm talking about historically. Mm-hmm. It's just been easier to say no. I think Big Pharma has a huge influence on it. They don't want to see these types of approaches where something like your own stem cells processed, put back into your body.
This is not like from placenta. This is
your adipose tissue from around your tummy that is taken. It's processed and then expanded into literally millions of mesenchymal stem cells and then reintroducing your body intravenously. And what did it take you, Clay? 45 minutes to sit there and have your cells brought in?
It took 15 minutes.
There you go.
And, it was virtually painless. I went in, numbed up my side.
We're gonna come back, Clay. I want to hear everything you have to say. Our bumper music here is what was one of my favorite songs of yours, Long Live the Cowboy, but I may have a new favorite with your new song out. We're going to come back, 281-558-5738. We're going to come back with another section with Clay Walker. We're happy to have him, and, of course, our former governor. We'll be back. All right, we're coming back. Governor. Let's explore a little bit more with Clay, because we've had the opportunity to talk to Clay, and the story that he tells is nothing short of a miracle. But let's take it a little bit further. I'm curious, because obviously I've heard this story before, and I know a little bit about it because Clay's a friend and you're a friend, but what are the various applications for this kind of, and now that it's quote unquote, you have the ability now to get it in Houston and to get it in Texas. Tell me what's this?
With the COVID, I think there's emergency designation now that the FDA has given to a company like Celltex, where that they can reintroduce the your mesenchymal stem cells back into your body here in the U.S. So I know Houston, San Antonio, there's a doctor that you're going to hear from here at the top of the hour, Dr. Derek Guillory, and he's going to talk a little bit about what's going on. FDA has a number of trials. You're going to hear about a phase two trial on COVID 19. And you know, when you really understand the science of stem cells, it's been known for many years that reintroduction of mesenchymal stem cells into your body drive down the inflammation. So you think about rheumatoid arthritis, when you think about all the, you know, the breaking down of cartilage, for instance. Mm-hmm. That's the cell is being attacked, the inflammation that occurs. These viruses. Is, you know, when you think about COVID-19, you think about the lungs, the what is that kind of the storm? I can't think of the word where the cells. Dr. Guillory will talk about this at length, but the cells get incredibly inflamed.
Adult respiratory
in the lungs.
Adult respiratory distress syndrome.
The mesenchymal stem cells build up your immune system, drive down that inflammation. So it really makes some sense.
Suggesting that for people that, like, everybody's hit by COVID differently, we've learned. That's one thing we finally learned. But some people are hit by it very badly, and multiple problems with their lungs. You're suggesting that stem cell, this kind of therapy, will help those folks?
There's a phase three trial in Mexico right now that the Mexican government has been involved with Celltex, that is showing very, very strong promise that the introduction of mesenchymal stem cells is a way to prevent COVID-19.
And we're gonna hear from the president of Celltex on the top of the hour.
No, you'll hear from Dr. Derek Guillory.
Okay,
Guillory is just one of the doctors that has worked with them.
But I want to, since we do have Clay, are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Since we do have Clay, I want to hear, like, so today, how are you doing? What's your plan? I know you have a new album out.
More importantly, he's got a new baby boy.
Well, now.
Tell us about that, Clay.
Well, stem cells have a lot of things. I got to say that I'm doing great, Tony, and thanks for asking. You know, I'm one of these people. You know, let me just make a full disclosure here that I don't own any stock in Celltex.
Yep.
I'm not a spokesperson for Celltex. I've never received a penny from Celltex. So I want to be clear about that. And you know, celebrities can sell things, and some things they believe in, some things they might not. And I've been a spokesperson for a drug company, and they did a lot of good for me. You know, I was able to keep this disease arrested for a long time. But one thing that no one can claim is that they can do things that repair the damage or heal this, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I am blessed that I was able to do both. And to be able to get around like I do now, you know, I can run with my kids. I can run as fast now as I could, I think, when I was first diagnosed. So I just want to be clear that there's two different things. Anybody who has MS and is on a medication that's working for them, you should stay on that.
Mm-hmm.
But what stem cells can do for you and has done for me is what I've said to you so far. Everything
awesome,
I've explained
man.
To you
is good
true.
For you,
and I believe that, you know, that God puts things in our lives every day. If you believe in God, and maybe you don't, but I know that this happened to me for a reason, and I was told by doctors that I would never be able to get any better. you know, I might be able to arrest it, but I certainly wasn't going to get any better, and most likely it was going to get a lot worse.
Yeah.
So here we are. You know, I'm, since 1996, you do the math, you know, I'm 24 years into this, 24 plus, and I'm making records, and we're getting ready to have some more hits. I want to thank all the people, the fine folks of Texas who put me on the map, period. You know, I owe Houston, Texas, you know, my life, and I appreciate, you know, what the fans there have done for me. They all prayed for me when I was diagnosed, and I know they've wished me well ever since, and all I do is try to get on that stage every night and give them the best concert possible, and I feel like
Clay, let me do this, and I man, that's good what you're saying. The first person that calls in tells me where Clay Walker is actually from, where Clay Walker, country music star, is from. The first person that calls in is going to get some of those Duke's steaks, some of those T-bones. Oh, actually, I think they're sirloins. Some Duke's steaks.
I don't know.
Well, Frank doesn't know, but he likes a good steak.
I eat all the steaks.
That's one of our sponsors, Duke's Butcher Shop. But if you really know Clay Walker, then you're going to know where in Texas. I'm giving you a little hint. Where in Texas this country music star and great friend of the show. And
give him the number.
The number is 281-558-5738. Clay, I really, really thank you, man. And I haven't seen you since the World Series. We got to do it again.
Well, you remember I called that home run.
Yeah, I remember. And you're never going to let me forget it, are you? You're never going to let me forget it. I remember.
Tour reform.
I appreciate you, man. All right, man.
All right, we love you, Clay. Take care of yourself. Tell Miss Jesse hi.
Governor, I know you have a special guest. I want to let you. I think our guest is on the line. I don't even know what to respond to that. What Frank just said.
Me neither.
I'm sorry.
I don't think I will.
I apologize.
So, I'm going to take this from where you are right now to a substantially more serious place.
Pull it out of the ditch if you could. Thank you.
And I told your audience that I wanted to talk about Houston, about innovation, some of the things that are going on. And Dr. Derek Guillory is coming on here, and he's just kind of come into my life here within the last few months, and I met him through a mutual acquaintance, and again, he is a brilliant medical doctor. If my memory serves me correct, I think he went to Baylor undergrad. And then to UT Southwestern, graduated the top of his class, and is double board certified. I think he's an emergency room board certified physician, and then another
certification.
There. But Dr. Guillory, come on. One of the things I wanted you to visit with COVID-19 being as prevalent is around the world. A lot of people talking about there's this cure, there's that cure, there's this way to prevent it, there's this way to treat it. I'd like for you just to kind of come on board and talk a little bit about what you're seeing out there. I know you're a huge fan of supplements, vitamin D3, of zinc, some other supplements that the average citizen can get pretty much down at the pharmacy to fight this COVID off, and also you're going to talk a little bit about what you've seen out there with these phase two trials. I think you're one of the investigators on a phase two trial on COVID-19, again, using mesenchymal stem cells. So there's a little bit of common story here. So Dr. Derek Guillory.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you having me on the show. So can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're sounding great.
Okay, great. Well, I'm really happy to be on, trying to give people some hope. I tell you, I'm almost at my boiling point with the misinformation out there. And so really happy to talk about some things that are hopeful. It drives me a little bit crazy. I don't know. I don't know where you guys are in this camp, but the fact that they're talking about this illness as if it kills people indiscriminately, which is not true, as if there's nothing we can do about it for treatment, which is not true, and that there's nothing we can do about it for prevention except wait on a vaccine that may never come, and which is not true. and that the only thing we can do is wash our hands and stay 6 feet apart and wear a mask. It's just, I'm telling you, I'm almost at the end of my rope. So happy to talk about anything you guys want to talk about. The stem cells.
Well, you just said a whole mouthful there. So you talked about various things that people believe. Why don't you just go through and just bullet point it for us? Because you're right. There is a lot of misinformation, and we're led to believe certain things. But from your perspective as somebody who's quote, in the know, tell us your perspective of this virus. And is there a cure, and is there a way to prevent it? Just tell me your perspective.
So I'm boarded in emergency medicine and also certified in functional medicine, which is sort of the regenerative medicine space. So we do a lot of things a little differently than conventional medicine. But, if doctors would all just remember one primary thing, which is we are here to treat people, to treat a person and not a virus, a person and not a disease, then we would be able to use our minds and our eyes and our ears and our hands and look and feel and see and treat the person that's sitting in front of us. And there are a lot of treatments that are effective for people that are sick. It is true, there is no approved treatment for this particular virus. But the good news is we're not treating viruses. You know, we're treating people. And people, you know, there are a lot of things that I have used that have been effective in my treatment of people for this illness. And I have treated many people with this illness. And I take care of all sorts of different illnesses. But, you know, when you look at it that way and you treat a person comprehensively, they will get well. And all these people are suffering from inflammatory toxicity. Their immune system is on fire. And at the same time, it's suppressed. So they're not appropriately responding to the virus. And they're inappropriately inflamed, often in many, many places, in their lungs, in their extremities, in their gut, in their brain, in their nose. So, but we can treat the person in front of us with all sorts of things. So one of the reasons I think I'm here to talk today is about stem cells. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, there are already published studies. There are scientific papers that are published showing effectiveness for lots of different conditions for using mesenchymal stem cells and stem cell factors in this specific illness in coronavirus, but also in other illnesses. So, you know, that is a really good example of why treating a person is helpful, because stem cells really don't do anything to kill the virus.
Right.
But what they do is they regulate the immune system and they turn off all the inflammatory dysregulation that's causing all of the problem. And in the studies that have been published, and there are some that I've been reading that are pre-published, you know, so you get them ahead of time if you know the researcher or the hospital that's involved. And up to 85% of these patients that are getting effective treatment with things like stem cells are rapidly recovering, and they're recovering fully. Hmm. And that's not the only thing that we use, but that's one of the really exciting things.
So what is your role in this stem cell research that's going on right now?
Yeah, as an investigator on the phase two trials that are going on, can you touch on that a little bit, Dr. Guillory?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So the company I'm working with is Celltex. It's a lab out of Houston. I don't know how much you guys have talked about it, but Celltex has really a few exciting trials that are going on. We have not begun enrolling patients yet for the trial here, which is going to be checking out the utility of the stem cells for prevention of coronavirus, as well as for the treatment of people who are already sick. and then another trial, which is actually, so those two trials are going to be using a person's own stem cells, which for a lot of reasons is the best way to go, which we can get into if you like. But then we're also going to be doing a trial on someone else's stem cells being used in a person who is sick with coronavirus. And the trials that have already been published, there aren't very many, but they're very exciting, and they show that, and we believe, that's the reason we're doing the trial, that patients are going to recover quickly and completely when they get appropriate treatment with their own stem cells or with someone else's. Wow. There's a few other trials that we're doing as well, which are really exciting. Rheumatoid arthritis.
So it sounds like to me, doctor, that because we're going to have to take a little break, and I hate to interrupt you because this is fascinating, but your point is, it sounds like there's hope. You treat the patient, you don't treat the virus. And man, keep doing what you're doing. We're just so happy that you would call in on our show, and I think it's just groundbreaking. And what I think is so cool, Governor, is it's happening right here in Houston, Texas.
Yeah, well, as I said to start the show, the Texas Medical Center, and that epicenter right there, and this whole city. If there's a lot of things you can be proud of Houston, Texas about, but let me tell you, I don't think any place in the world there is more medicine being practiced, more research being done, more breakthroughs happening. When you think about MD Anderson, when you think about the people that, whose lives have been given back to them, and we see companies like Celltex, you see here before the top of the hour, we're going to hear about a technology that has the ability to kill the coronavirus.
Well,
created right here in the great Houston, Texas.
We're going to come back, and we're also going to give away some steaks.